Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Oorah! The Front Lines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are all proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. The Colonel will start by talking with Steve Wilson about HelpVet.net. Then I'll talk to Doug Giles, author of the new book, Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men. Then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. And now, back to the Colonel and HelpVet.net.
So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show my good friend Steve Wilson. Glad you could join us today, Steve.
Danny, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the invite. It's great getting to talk about the needs and the issues of those that have sacrificed so much for the freedoms that a lot of Americans these days, Danny, take for granted. So thank you so much for having me back on air.
Hey, HelpVet.net helps vets. Tell us how you started HelpVet.net. Well, obviously to help vets, but why did you start it?
Well, HelpVet was formed back in January of 2018. It was originally formed to empower service members and their families, the survivors, and really the entire military community with a wide variety of benefits and resources, not to mention a large network of providers who have deep ties to their community and who care a great deal about our service members. So we connect you to all sorts of programs, services, along with countless resources to improve your military life and help you be the best you could be. We help all inclusive, from those that have served, those that are active, those that are retired, people in reserves of the Guard or the family thereof. And Danny, we make it easy to access and understand the benefits earned in service. We have a large database of resources that guide you through every step of the military journey, certainly when you retire. Stuff like education, employment, finances, housing, travel, healthcare benefits, retire benefits, VA benefits, and much, much more.
You know, that's the charming thing about that, because everybody knows that those areas exist, but how do you find out about them? How do you plug in? How do you use them is the question that lots of people have. And that's the neat thing at HelpVet.net has the answers. Straight answers.
Oh, yeah.
Not hustle answers, not buy my business, but this is just here to help you. That's awesome.
Well, you know, Danny, it's interesting because we've got about 17.5 million veterans that live in our country that are done. And then, you know, on top of that, we've got the families. So probably close to around 130 million. What's sad is most Americans think that every veteran out there gets benefits through the VA. And you and I both know that's not true. Approximately 50% are entitled to the benefits that the VA offers. Most of it's based on time served, whether you're deployed, whether it's combat, whether it's peacetime. There are many different conditions, as you well know. But it means that there are, 8.5 million, 9 million that are very limited to what the VA provides overall. It means the families are limited. And then on top of that, you've got about 9 million that get no healthcare services through the VA, no financial aid in attendance. A lot don't even qualify for, and some don't even qualify for a VA loan. And most veterans don't understand. They don't seek out their benefits. They don't understand who or what they get. So we provide opportunities to get set up with veteran service officers, with state veteran benefits counselors to go over eligibility, to help you with your 1010 easy forms to find out what the benefit might be through aid in attendance if you do qualify. But everyone living in America is a beneficiary of those that have served in the military who have carried the burden and paid the price of keeping our country safe. And considering your sacrifice, Danny, and theirs, we were formed to connect those individuals and families and really come around you and ask, how can we help? So we were founded to help local communities by working hand in hand with veterans, active military, and families, and a variety of local businesses, as well as local and national charities, to address your toughest issues, which include, but certainly are not limited to, veteran suicides, PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, and the financial responsibilities that you and the rest of the veteran community and your families bear.
Yeah, and I thank you for that. You know, and I've got a number of friends who just served in the National Guard or Reserves or served on active duty, there was no war. And they said, well, I'm not really not a vet. I never didn't do it. Yes, you did. You made your life available to our nation. The fact they didn't start a war while you were doing it or send you to a war isn't your fault. If you wore that uniform, you're entitled, and just letting them know that they can plug in somewhere. If I have a need, I know I can call. But if my mother in California, or my sister, or my grandchild, or a close friend near me or across the United States somewhere from me, if they need help, I can refer them too, can't I?
Absolutely. We don't leave anybody behind. We don't care, Denny, whether you served one day or you get buried at 100 years old in that uniform, because every one of you is somebody who writes a blank check that's payable for an amount up to and including your lives for this country. Your families go along on every step of the journey with you. So absolutely. We have these business cards that are actual physical business cards that are hand-delivered to all the American Legion halls and VFW posts in the country. They're also hand-delivered to all the vet centers throughout the country. And those cards are handed out. So we're one of, if not the only, organization in the country that bridges the gap between those families that get the benefits and those that do not. So when it is determined that you may not qualify for a benefit, whatever the reason might be, or your family does not, you are given our information. You're told to contact us immediately. And the first thing we do is verify the validity of your need. If we have a local solution for you, then obviously we're going to guide you to it. But if we don't, then we're going to work as hard as we possibly can to find you local representation in your own backyard for whatever that need is, whether you are active, retired, reserve, guard, or family. So we bridge the gap between those families that do get benefits, those that are limited to benefits, and the millions and millions of families and individuals that don't get anything. We'll help find organizations for you, or we have organizations for you, from attorneys to healthcare to aid and attendance help. Matter of fact, right now, we're dealing with individuals that are getting older and aging out. In our country, there are 10,000 people a day that are turning 65 and getting older. So the assisted living, the home health care, aging in place. This is very, very important to make sure that we align you with individuals that have your best interest in mind. We align individuals from veterans and the like to people that we vet out and make sure that we could say, Mom, we vetted this business owner out. We've spoken to them. We've done our background. We read the highest of accolades from their clients, and we've had these conversations. So we're the ones that will bring you to their front door. We'll open the door. We'll introduce you. We'll hand you off to them and let them do what they do for you. But we bring it down to the local level, and we do this on a national scale.
Yes, you do. And I've seen it and seen it and seen it. Final question. How can vets plug into you? How can they get help from you?
Well, not only through the vet centers in at the VA hospitals or the outpatient clinics or the VFWs or the American Legions, people are contacting us constantly. We also do coordinated events at different vet centers, like down at the Ocala Vet Center a couple of years ago in Pompano Beach, Florida. We did a job fair. There are many ways that people can find out about us, and not only through the radio show. Any veteran, any family member, anybody that has any affinity to the military community can certainly contact us through our website. The best way to do it is through email, and the best email is going to be support@helpvet.net. That, again, is support@helpvet.net. If you'd like to have a conversation with me, by all means, just ask to speak to Steve Wilson. I'd be more than honored to help anybody that I possibly could.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate your great support for the military community. Thank you for sharing with us today, and thank you for your service to our nation's veterans. God bless you.
Well, Denny, I certainly thank you for the opportunity to get the word out and about the help that really provides to this nation's heroes. Every one of you who's ever put on that uniform, God bless you. God bless your families. God bless this country. And thank you for the opportunity to help you and help those that have sacrificed to keep our country safe, to keep my family safe. Denny, I couldn't thank you enough. So God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Glad you're part of the team.
Thanks, Colonel. Next, we'll talk with Doug Giles, author of the new book, Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go way down each time, do 40, and do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back.
Veterans swore an oath to defend this country, and that oath doesn't expire when we take off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and military families the opportunity to continue serving their country by taking on the most important issues our country is facing.
A better foreign policy, quality health care for veterans, responsible spending, and more.
Learn more about how you can play a part by visiting CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thank you for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And now we have a special guest on Frontlines of Freedom, a veteran of the show and also a best-selling author. From the great state of Texas, we welcome Doug Giles. Doug, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom.
Skip, how you doing, big dog?
I am doing great. Man, I was on the internet, on Amazon, looking at your book, and that's number one on Amazon, and I thought it had just come out.
Yeah, I don't think it's even been 24 hours, and it rang the number one bell on Amazon. And for your listeners, it's called Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy, Skip, Biblical Men. So imagine that.
Well, rowdy and biblical in the same title, is that allowed?
Yeah, what's funny is that I had this chick chastise me on Instagram. She's like, I don't like you using the word rowdy in conjunction with Christians and Jesus. I was like, lady, have you watched The Passion of the Christ? They killed him because he's got a smart mouth and he would bust the chops of bad politicians, bad priests, hypocrites. Jesus would get up in their grill. And that's why they killed him. And I would consider, Skip, that, I don't know, rowdy behavior.
I never heard anyone say that. Jesus would get up in their grill. Someone should write that down. That's just, that's awesome.
I officially just copyrighted it.
Did you?
Okay. They're going to have to pay me a premium. Hey, Skip, with this book, Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men, here's what I'm out to do. Donald Trump's out to make America great again. I'm out to make Christian males masculine again, because in the oh-so-effete evangelical world of La La Land, masculinity, well, it looks like it's on the decline, and I'm here to jack them up, because if we don't have biblical men, and I'm talking about guys under God's governance who are providers, protectors, hunters, and heroes, the church is screwed, our culture will become more crass, and there's no way in the world that we'll be able to write the fetid swamp, which is inside the Beltway. I'm talking about Washington, D.C. If we just got a bunch of little evangelical tinkerpots, we need young men to morph into, again, biblical, badass, rowdy Christians who stand up for that, which is holy, just, and good. And Skip, I never thought at 60 years of age, I'd be writing a book for teenagers or early 20-something males. But man, I felt God push me in this direction. Because again, you know, you look at what, you know, they're left to. So it's going to be Andrew Tate, who I hope the dude gets saved. But he's not a great example of masculinity. Sure, he's rich. Sure, he works hard. Sure, he pushes excellence in regards to how, you know, young men should live. But he's also into porn and materialism and a lot of stuff that I think makes masculinity definitely toxic and look ridiculous and cartoonish. But what we put forward in this book, Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men, is nothing but the overt masculine principles of Christ in particular. And then, you know, obviously the examples, the protagonists of the apostles and prophets. And again, you look at a lot of these biblical characters, and then you look at our little sapphiresis, little sassy evangelical world of Popinjays. You don't see the same kind of masculinity that you see in the biblical greats. And that's why I push this. There's no book like it out there, Skip. And I've looked at a lot of books for young men. They don't even come flipping near this. I pop off like the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket, and I kick those teenagers' butts up and down the floor with this book.
Well, this is Marine vet Skip Coriel, and we're speaking with best-selling author Doug Giles about his new book, Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men. You know, Doug, you were just, you know, you talk about the feminization of the American male and toxic masculinity and all of that. And we kind of talk about that subject quite a bit on this show, because one of the things that we're worried about at Front Lines of Freedom is that we live in a very dangerous world. With, I mean, we got the Chinese, the Russians, North Koreans, Iran, they all want to kill us. And we're just concerned that, are we going to be able to recruit into the military enough warrior types who know what gender they are and things like that, that will be able to fend off the Chinese and the Russians? Because they certainly don't seem to be having trouble making quotas. So talk about that for a second.
Yeah, like if I was a young man nowadays, and the military was an option for me, I wouldn't join. Not under Biden. I mean, look at what Obama did to our military. Let's bring on the drag queen shows. Mm-hmm. And then Biden, you know, he's done that garbage and that stupidity and that anti-American bull crap in the military, all branches. He's put that on steroids. So think if Trump gets into the White House or one of the lesser luminaries in the GOP that are pressing towards the hoop. Yeah, we can see, you know, a renaissance of masculinity, and in particular in our frickin' armed forces, which we should be the most threatening military machine on the planet. But just like Douglas MacGregor says, we're not. We're a shadow of what we used to be. And, you know, it's weird. So in the book, Lionhearted, I point out that when God wants to curse a nation, when he wants to judge a nation for their evil and turning a blind eye to his commandments, you know, turning a deaf ear to his prophets, one of the ways that he judges people is not just through locusts and hemorrhoids and turning water into blood, but he also, in Isaiah chapter 3, he also removed the warrior and the hero from the midst of Israel. And when he removed, you know, that masculine, overt masculine element from, you know, being the front lines of freedom for Israel, then he appointed capricious young people and women with bad ideas to govern in Israel. And guess what happened after that? They got steamrolled by the enemies. And that's where we are right now as a nation, prophetically. We've got idiots, precious young lads and evil women with ill intent that are steering the United States of liberal acrimony. And the only way that you can correct this, and I know the feministas will hate me saying this, is the boys got to get back in town. And again, you know, the church needs to be tip of the spear and raising strong Christian young men. And that's why I kick this book into the fray. If the youth pastors are scared to go there, well, maybe this will give them some courage. And if they're not, maybe this will be a supplement feed, you know, to young Christian males who don't want to be some little wuss for Jesus. And they want to be a provider, protector, hunter, and hero for the glory of God and under his governance.
Yeah. Yeah, Doug, I agree with you. It's gotten to the point where it's a national security issue because we just can't field enough tough, strong men anymore for our military. But Doug, we're out of time for this segment. But before you go, can you please tell our listeners how they can get your new book?
Yeah, go to Amazon.com, click your mouse and melt your plastic and get my book, Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men.
All right, folks, this is a real important book. You've got to get that. I've read it. It's awesome. And it could be a matter of national security. So, hey, if you love America, buy Lionhearted by Doug Giles. All right, Doug, thanks for being on Front Lines of Freedom today. And thanks for the good that you do for our country.
Thank you, Skip. Stay rowdy.
All right. Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll open our weekly mailbag, and then we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. This is Marine vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. We haven't done those in a while, so do as many as you can until you hear the sound of my voice again. But stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through Frontlines of Freedom or comment on Facebook. And now it's Service Academy football time. And I'm joined, of course, by our football co-host, Air Force Vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome there, brother.
Skip, hey, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. We are past the quarter pole in the season already. And man, is it it's a very good season. Not quite what we want with our Service Academy football teams, but still not bad.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Quentin, what do you think about the quarterback situation at Navy, though?
Well, Skip, now you had to start off there.
Well, you're from the Air Force, so I figured it'd be safe to ask.
We root for each other, of course, and I want Navy to be good, and they want to be good, but they're going through some growing pains right now. You know, they dropped a real tough game, 44-30, to the University of South Florida Bulls. Navy moved to 1-3 on the season, 0-2 in the American Athletic Conference, or the AAC, as USF moved to 3-2 on the year and 2-0 in the AAC. It was quarterback Byron Brown for USF who completed 26 of 34 pass attempts for 338 yards and 3 touchdowns as he just torched the Navy defense. But let me tell you, Skip, that's not really the full story of this game because Navy actually jumped out to a 14-0 lead and really looked good, but just could not hold on as turnovers plagued them. You know, and one of the key plays was a 3rd-and-1. They go for the quarterback sneak. The quarterback fumbles the ball. Florida picks it up and campers 70 yards for a touchdown the other way. And that was really a backbreaker for the midshipmen. You know, South Florida was up 23-20 at the half, a close game.
Yeah.
But again, it was just Navy's untimely turnovers and their inability to sustain drives. One of the things that we see is that Navy has gone away a lot more. And, you know, of course, they're under a new regime with Coach Brian Newberry. And they've gone to, you know, much more of a trying to be a diversified running attack, not just the triple option. Mm-hmm. But they're just having some growing pains in doing so. Blake Horvath completed 4 out of 6 passes for 83 yards and 2 touchdowns. Sounds like a pretty good stat line. But starter Tylevin was only 1 out of 5 for 7 yards. And Navy's rushing offense just really never got on track. Alex Tezza had 82 yards. Dabo Fafana had 53. Blake Horvath, 52. Ty only had 21 yards. And the team as a whole rushed for really 240 yards. And as our Service Academy teams go, that doesn't usually get it done. When we look at their passing, I mean, threw for 90 yards as well. But so 330 yards of total offense really sounds pretty good. But when you compare it to the fact that South Florida threw for 338 and ran for another 97, almost 100 yards, compared to 438 yards, that's quite a difference. And Navy just could not, again, sustain the drives that they needed. in order to outlast the Bulls. So they dropped the tough game 44-30 to the South Florida Bulls.
Now, this is Marine vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts. Now, well, Quentin, what about Army? Do you think they can survive the Power 5 section of their schedule?
Well, I tell you what, Skip. We know Army's coming off of a bye. And going into the bye, they played Syracuse, and they dropped a tough game. They were leading at the half, but Syracuse came out in the second half, was able to put up some points, and defeated them 29-16. But their next game is Boston College. And, you know, when we look at the Boston College game, I tell you what, Army is actually favored in that game by 6.5 points. They're having a little more success in their transition to more of a passing offense. It's at home, and I expect Army to really be able to handle Boston College. Now, in 2 weeks from there, they've got LSU, Louisiana State University, those Tigers now in Baton Rouge. Now, I don't expect them to fare too well in that game. But you know what? That's why we play the game.
Yeah, anything can happen. Anything at all. So that's great. Well, what about the Air Force?
Well, they hosted San Diego State, and it was on CBS Sports Network. And let me tell you, those Falcons actually put on a show. Air Force defeated San Diego State 49-10 to move to 5-0 overall, 3-0 in the conference. And San Diego State, surprisingly, who's usually pretty good, dropped to 0-2 in the conference and 2-4 overall. Mm-hmm. The story is Zach Larriers, Air Force's quarterback, the senior, completed 6 out of 7 passes for 189 yards and 2 touchdowns and ran for another 103 yards on 8 carries. Mm-hmm. Add to that, Emmanuel Michelle, 78 yards on 18 carries. A pick six by defensive standout Trey Taylor, and the Falcons were on a roll. I tell you what, Troy Calhoun has this team playing with confidence. He has them playing efficient football. They're maintaining ball control. And it was very surprising because they lost their top 3 players from last year. They lost their quarterback, Azeek Daniels, a multi-year starter. They lost Brad Roberts, the fullback, who was an all-purpose full running back for multi-year. And they lost David Cormier, their outstanding wide receiver. But you know what? Boy, I tell you, I don't know what they're doing out there in those Colorado Rockies, but they are reloading. Zach Larrier at QB, Emmanuel Michelle. I mentioned the receivers just really had a great day, and Air Force is just finding ways to get it done. Hats off to Coach Troy Calhoun and the job he is doing, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that defense, holding San Diego State to 122 yards passing and 105 yards on the ground. Just an outstanding effort from that defense. So the Falcons are poised as they move into the bye week.
Ah. That's great. That's great. Now, the Colonel, he's on vacation right now. So anything that you and I say right now, he'll never know about. If this is just hypothetical, if the Air Force were to play the Army right now, who do you think would win?
Well, you know what? I don't have to whisper it because I think it's pretty clear this year. I want to say it's almost kind of like the good, the bad, and the ugly. You got Air Force, Army, and Navy. Uh-huh. But Army is really not bad at this. They really aren't. And actually, the Air Force-Army game is going to be a very good game. But let me also throw in here the Merchant Marine Academy. Mm-hmm. The Merchant Marine Academy fell to Sal Regina, 35-17, and a tough loss and moved to 3-1 on the season. So we want to, you know, always recognize our brethren there. And Coast Guard Academy having a tough season. However, they were able to get a victory against MIT. So we just want to mention that too. Keep an eye on what's going on out in those Northeastern schools as well. They play good football.
Well, Quentin, sounds like there's a lot happening in Service Academy football, just boy, like every fall, every week. And we're really glad to have someone like you who knows the ins and outs. Do you watch personally all of these games? How do you do that? And does your wife let you do this?
Well, I try to catch at least highlights. I watch the games when I can. If not, I watch highlights. And you know what? It's just a passion because you know these students are playing the game really for the love of the game. There's no NIL. There's no transfer portals when you come to our service academy teams. It's kind of good old fashioned football, and they still put a good product out there. So they are teams that we can all be proud of.
Ah, that is awesome. All right. Well, Quentin, thank you very much for giving us all this great information, and thank you for your passion for the game. We'll be back at it again next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You have reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want you devil dog ready, then stand at ease.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Helping me out while the colonel's away is my 17-year-old son, Cedar. Son, thanks for helping out today.
Not a problem, Dad. I'm just following orders from my sergeant.
And I'm just following orders from the colonel, so it all rolls downhill as normal. What's the first comment, son?
Anne from New Jersey just wanted to say that she agrees with the colonel's views on climate change. First we're warming and then we're cooling. It just seems to go back and forth forever.
Anne, you and I and the colonel all agree on this one. Climate change theory is just that, a theory. It's not real science. It's just more politicians using the scientific community to advance their own political agenda. I'm sick and tired of hearing about it as well. Thanks for writing.
And Jeremy, an Army vet, likes hearing about the latest real news coming from the southern border, not the fake news that he hears on mainstream media. Keep it coming.
Thanks, Jeremy. Our Marine contributor and former Border Patrol officer, Gil Mazza, does a great job, and he has all the inside scoop that the Biden administration doesn't want you to know. Stay tuned to Front Lines of Freedom, and we'll make sure you get the straight scoop on the border from someone who's been there. Thanks for listening. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Cedar?
On the 13th of October, 1775, the Continental Congress authorized construction and administration of the first American naval force, the precursor of the U.S. Navy.
And less than a month after that, November 10th, at Tun Tavern, the Marine Corps was formed. But we're not going to mention that because we don't want to take away the thunder for the U.S. Navy, of course. And on 10 October 1845, the U.S. Naval Academy opened in Annapolis, Maryland, with 50 midshipmen students and 7 professors. Known as a naval school until 1850, the curriculum included mathematics and navigation, gunnery and steam, chemistry, English, natural philosophy, and French. The naval school officially became the U.S. Naval Academy in 1850, and a new curriculum went into effect, requiring midshipmen to study at the academy for 4 years, and to train aboard ships each summer, the basic format that remains at the Academy to this day.
On 11 October 1862, Confederate cavalry leader General J.E.B. Stuart looted Chambersburg, Pennsylvania on a daring raid in the aftermath of the Battle of Antietam.
And on 9 October 1864, Union cavalry in the Shenandoah Valley dealt a humiliating defeat to their Confederate counterparts at Toms Brook, Virginia. Confederate General Jubal Early's force had been operating in and around the Shenandoah area for 4 months. Early summer campaign caught the attention of Union General-in-Chief Ulysses Grant, who was laying siege to Richmond and Petersburg, Virginia. Grant was determined to neutralize Early and secure the Shenandoah for the North. He dispatched one of his best generals, Philip Sheridan, to pursue the rebels there. And he was one of his best generals, no doubt about it.
On 9 October 1915, during World War I, Austro-Hungarian forces captured the Serbian capital of Belgrade, assisted in their defeat of Serbian forces by German troops under the command of General August von Mackensen.
And on 11 October 1942, the American Navy intercepted a Japanese fleet of ships on their way to reinforce troops at Guadalcanal. The Navy succeeded in its operation, sinking a majority of the ships in the Battle of Cape Esperance. That was a great victory. And no, son, I was not there.
On the 13th of October, 1943, during World War II, the government of Italy declared war on its former Axis partner, Germany, and joined the battle on the side of the Allies, with Mussolini deposed from power and the collapse of the fascist government in July. General Pietro Badoglio, Mussolini's former chief of staff and the man who had assumed power in the Duce's stead by request of King Victor Emmanuel, began negotiating with General Eisenhower regarding a conditional surrender of Italy to the Allies. It became a fact on September 8th, with the new Italian government allowing the Allies to land in Salerno, in southern Italy, in its quest to beat the Germans back up the peninsula.
And beat them we did. On 14 October 1944, during World War II, German General Erwin Rommel, nicknamed the Desert Fox, was given the option of facing a public trial for treason as a co-conspirator in the plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler or taking cyanide. He chose the latter.
On 11 October 1961, at a meeting of the National Security Council, President John Kennedy was asked by his advisors to accept, quote, as a real and ultimate objective, the defeat of the Viet Cong, end quote. The Joint Chiefs of Staff estimated that 40,000 U.S. troops could clean up the Viet Cong threat, and another 120,000 could cope with North Vietnamese or Chinese communist intervention. Kennedy wanted to prevent the fall of South Vietnam to the communist insurgents, but decided to send General Maxwell Taylor to Vietnam to study the situation. Ultimately, Kennedy would send advisors, helicopters, and other military support to South Vietnam to aid President Ngo Dinh Diem in his fight against the Viet Cong.
And of course, we all know that later, they sent Colonel Denny Gillum. And on 10 October 1965, in the first major operation since arriving the previous month, the U.S. 1st Cavalry Division, Air Mobile, joined with South Vietnamese Marines to strike at 2,000 North Vietnamese troops 25 miles from An Khe in the Central Highlands. The 1st Cavalry Division was a new kind of division which was built around the helicopter and the Air Mobile concept. The division contained 434 helicopters and had the capability to move one-third of its combat power at one time into terrain inaccessible to normal infantry vehicles. During its first major mission, faulty U.S.-South Vietnamese coordination prevented their forces from entrapping the North Vietnamese Army 325th Infantry Division, but they managed to reopen Route 19 between Pleiku and An Khe, the main east-west supply route in the region. During the course of its employment in South Vietnam, the 1st Team, as the 1st Cavalry Division came to be known, would prove to be one of the most effective U.S. combat units in the war.
On 9 October 1969, the National Guard was called in as demonstrations continue in Chicago, protesting the trial of the Chicago 8.
And on 10 October 1985, the hijacking of the Italian cruise ship Achille Lauro reached a dramatic climax when U.S. Navy F-14 fighters intercepted an Egyptian airliner attempting to fly the Palestinian hijackers to freedom and forced the jet to land at a NATO base in Sigonella, Sicily. American-Italian troops surrounded the plane and the terrorists were taken into Italian custody.
On 12 October 1960, in one of the most surreal moments in the history of the Cold War, Russian leader Nikita Khrushchev removed his shoe and pounded a table with it in a protest against a speech critical of Soviet policy in Eastern Europe. During a debate over a Russian resolution decrying colonialism, a representative of the government of the Philippines charged the Soviets with employing a double standard, pointing to their domination of Eastern Europe as an example of the colonialism they were criticizing in their resolution. In response, Khrushchev took off one of his shoes and began to furiously pound the table. The chaotic scene finally ended when General Assembly President Friedrich Bohlen from Ireland broke his gavel, calling the meeting to order. But not before the image of Khrushchev as a hothead buffoon was indelibly etched into America's collective memory.
And on 12 October 2000 at 12:15 p.m. local time, a motorized rubber dinghy loaded with explosives
blew a 40-by-40-foot hole in the port side of the USS Cole, a Navy destroyer that was refueling at Aden, Yemen. 17 sailors were killed and 38 wounded in the attack, which was carried out by two suicide terrorists alleged to be members of Saudi exile Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda terrorist network. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Cedar.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed, in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing the use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. And here's the story this week, Sergeant. In Blytheville, Arkansas, police said that a 57-year-old truck driver pulled off the side of the road to adjust his trailer, and a 23-year-old man got into the truck in an attempt to steal it. When the driver tried to pull him out of the truck's cab, the stranger shot him. Two witnesses tried to intervene, police said, but the assailant chased them back to their own car. One witness was armed, however, and shot the man after repeatedly warning him to stop. The wounded truck driver was released from the hospital. His assailant faces a charge of first-degree battery.
Thanks, Cedar. Wow, there's a lot going on here, so let's get right into it. First, let's talk about how the truck driver responded. I have a lot of truck drivers in my concealed carry classes, and they face special challenges when it comes to carrying firearms on the road. Many of them are forbidden by their companies to carry while on the job. Couple that with crossing state lines several times a day, going from one jurisdiction to another where the laws change over and over again, and it can get quite confusing. I don't blame them for deciding not to carry a gun because the firearms laws can get quite convoluted. But the southern states' gun right carry laws are fairly gun-friendly. I carry an app on my phone from United States Concealed Carry Association, and that makes it handy when I'm going from state to state. In this way, I'm always aware of the changing gun laws. Even if you decide not to carry a gun, you can still carry pepper spray. That would have helped out in this incident. A lot of truck drivers also carry wooden tire clubs that can double as self-defense tools. They're not as effective as a gun, but they're better than nothing. In this case, it would have been safer for the driver to let the carjacker drive away with his rig and then call 911, let the cops do their job. He was probably assuming the robber was unarmed. That assumption could have gotten him killed. In a situation like that, always consider that the assailant might be armed and act accordingly. Second, let's talk about the witnesses who intervened. I think they did a good job. They were kind enough to stop and help, which many people wouldn't have done. They also retreated when they saw the gun, which is always a smart thing to do. A firearm is a tool of last resort, so if you can safely get away, then you should. They moved to reliable cover, their car, and even gave the man an opportunity to break off the attack. One caution about issuing challenge commands against an armed attacker, though. Only do it when you're safely behind cover, or else they might ignore your commands and just shoot you. His commands were indeed ignored, so the armed witness drew his gun and shot the attacker from behind the safety of an engine block. All in all, these people did a good job at protecting themselves and even managed to take out the bad guy in the process. Frontlines of Freedom salutes their bravery and wishes the truck driver all the best as he recovers from his wounds.
Well done, Sergeant Coriel.
Our movie of the month is The Conscripts and Conscientious Objectors of World War II. You can go to Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd appreciate getting your comments about it. Then send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, retired Air Force General John Dragon Tickert will discuss our nation's challenges. Army vet Ryan Purchase will discuss working with snipers. And Quentin Roberts will review this week's Service Academy football games. And of course, Marines Gil and Skip will present their border and book segment. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of the show, hey, all of our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity. and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel.
And I'm Junior Co-host Cedar Coriel.
Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.